Are you tired?
Yeah.
So now you get to rest. You can even fall asleep. I don't matter. Drink. Sit down. Be calm. Okay. Is it your first time here?
Yes. Second time.
Okay. Well, most of you, it's the first time here.
Yeah, first time.
Okay. Where are you from in the world?
No.
Canada.
I'm from Canada.
America.
From Japan.
California? Really? California? Okay, so do you recognize my accent? A bit. I used to live in California a few years, so that's why I know a bit of English. Okay, but now I live in Israel. Thank God. It's wonderful here. Okay, my name is Natalie, by the way. Okay, so I'll tell you a bit about what we're doing here in the Temple Institute, what you're going to see today. Everyone's going to be quiet there in a few seconds. Okay, so everything you're going to see here today, all the vessels, the beautiful vessels you're going to see here, everything has been made especially for the temple. That means that everything is made exactly like it was 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago in the second temple and the first temple. Everything exactly like it was, the same measurements, the same materials. If it's supposed to be made out of pure gold, so it's pure gold. Silver, silver. Copper, copper. Acacia wood, acacia wood. Everything exactly like it's described in the Bible. So that when the time comes, and hopefully it's going to be really soon, we're going to have the third temple. We believe that someday we're going to have the third temple. We could actually use these specific vessels that you are going to see here today. The only thing left is just the temple, and then we could come over here. We're going to need your help. We could just break all these glasses over here and take all the vessels with us to the Temple Mount and bring them into the temple. Okay, now, first of all, let's start with this picture over here. Before we get to the vessels, I believe you've been to the Temple Mount, or you're going to be there soon. Have you been there?
Someone left it there. Who was it?
Oh, someone lost.
Who's there?
Maybe it's theirs.
What is it?
A notebook with a map. I don't know. Okay. Have you been to the Temple Mount?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Have you been to the Western Wall?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, great. Wait, so you left us with it. It's not nice. Okay. But okay, of course, the Temple Mount, that's more important. You've been to the Temple Mount. So this is what you saw there, right?
Right.
No?
No.
I thought you went to the Temple Mount. What? The Temple Mount? What did you see there? Something else, right? Okay, it's really sad, but today it doesn't really look like this. This is how it used to look like 2,000 years ago when we had a temple on the Temple Mount. But now we have something else over here. I don't want to get into politics, I don't want to get into stories, but everyone understands. Okay, you've been to the Western Wall. That's what we have left of all this structure. Anyone want to guess where it is? Western Wall?
Right now. It's on the west.
On the west wall. Okay. Here?
Yeah.
Here?
East, west. This is east.
Right, exactly. Okay, great. Excellent. Okay, this is the east and this is the west. How do you know that?
The way the temple sits.
Exactly, right. The holiest place in the temple, the Holy of Holies, is on the western side, right over here. And the Western Wall is holy and special just because of that, because it's the closest wall to the Holy of Holies. We have the Southern Wall also in the Davidson Center, and that's not as important as the Western Wall, because the Western Wall is closest to the Holy of Holies, which is right over here on the western side. In general, the more you go west in the temple, the more holy it becomes. You come in from the eastern side, then you have the outer court, then you have the inner court, then the holy, and only then the Holy of Holies at the far, far west of the temple. You could say the best in the west. Okay, for all the California people here. Okay, the best in the west over here on the western side, the Holy of Holies. Now, the western wall, what you saw outside is just a small piece of this whole wall over here. It's just this area over here. And if you go down the tunnels, did you go to the tunnels?
Not yet.
No, not yet. You're going to be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So you're going to see the whole thing. What you saw outside is just a small piece of the wall from the length and also from the height. When you go down the tunnels, you could see the whole height of it, and you could see the whole length all down the western wall, and then you could actually stand right opposite the Holy of Holies. Okay, right over here. And that's like the holiest place from the outside of the Temple Mount. Okay. So that's a bit about the Temple Mount and all the areas. Oh, by the way, the Holy of Holies, how come it's on the western side, not the east or the north or the south? How come the west?
Because of the Bible.
The law.
Bible, of course. Everything, right. Because of the Bible, God's word, of course. But just an idea behind it, like why we can explain. The Holy of Holies, the holiest place in the house of God is on the western side. Because in the time of the temple, people around the world, they would worship the idols. And the idol was the sun. People from all around would pray to the sun. The sun was like the god, the great power was the sun. So everyone bows and prays to where the sun rises, where the sun's glory is, and that's on the eastern side. So everyone bows and prays to the east, where the sun rises. But in the temple, it's the opposite way. In the temple, you pray to God. And in the house of God, you turn your back on the idol, you turn your back on the sun, and you pray and bow to the western side. You turn your back on the idol and pray to the west. So that's just an idea behind it. Okay, in a few minutes we're going to go downstairs and we're going to see exactly how the temple looks like from up close. Before that, I'd like to introduce you to my friend over here, the high priest. His name is Mr. Cohen. Hey, he's pleased to meet you all. Now, he's wearing the high priest garments. The high priest garments are really special, each in his own way. Only the high priest got to wear this set of clothing. All the rest of the priests that work in the temple, they would wear white linen garments, white linen clothes. Only the high priest wore the golden clothes. They're called the golden clothes, the colorful ones. They're all called the golden clothes because each and every one of them has something to do with gold, like a golden thread or a golden chain or a golden crown, something with gold. Now, by the way, the high priest and the priest, all the priests, in English we call them priests, but in Hebrew, priest is Kohen. Okay, Kohen, all throughout the Bible, every time it explains one of the services, all the different things in the tabernacle, so it always says the Kohen this, the Kohen that, Kohen, Kohen, Kohen that. It's called Kohen. In American accent, yeah. Kohen, you familiar with the name Kohen? Okay. So, 99%, if someone's family name is Kohen, that means that he's a Kohen. He's from the family of the Kohens. And who was the first Kohen? First Kohen was Aaron. Aaron, the brother of Moses, he was the first Kohen chosen by God to work in the tabernacle. And afterwards, his sons and all his descendants afterwards, they're all the Kohens that we have today. We have lots of Kohens. If you open a phone book in Israel, or even in America, wherever, you open Kohen, you get a few pages full of Kohen. There's a lot of Kohen. Now, not only that family name, but also there's Kahana, which in Aramaic language means Kohen. That also goes down through the generations, but that's a family of Kohens. There's Katz, in Hebrew it's short for Kohen Tzedek. It's also a family name of Kohen. There's a few family names that show that someone is a Kohen. Now, if that's not enough, and today it's 2,000 years later after the time of the temple, so we can't really, really be 100% sure, but now we have the scientists who did research, and they found that all the Kohens, no matter where they live, wherever they are, in Africa, in Europe, in America, wherever they are, they all have something similar in their genes that tells them apart from the rest of the world, that you could tell by their genes that they all come from the same family. Wow, it doesn't matter where they come from, even though many years they were in a different country, different continent, wherever they were, they all have something similar in their genes, in their DNA, that tells that they all come from the family of Kohen. Okay, so that's a bit about the Kohens. Now, let's see, the high priest garments. Okay, the first thing that the high priest wears is the blue robe. What you see on top of the white one is the blue robe. It's not a regular blue robe, of course. It's wool, colored in a special dye, blue dye, it's not like the blue that we wear today, like blue t-shirts or blue shirts, skirts, whatever, pants. This blue is taken from a snail, a special snail. In Hebrew it's called chilazon tcheret. It's a special snail that has this blue dye. Each one of these snails has just a tiny bit of the blue dye. And it's very, very rare, the snail, very, very hard to find. Especially in the time of the temple, whoever had blue, he was very, very rich and very wealthy. Only the big kings, they would wear blue. It was a very royal color of blue. So, and also just to understand, only to color one thread in blue, you need 30 of these snails. 30 snails for just one thread. So you can imagine the whole rope, you need lots and lots and lots of threads, you need lots and lots and lots of snails. So it's a pretty expensive rope. And it was really hard to make it. That's one of our last projects, actually. So it took us many years. And what you see here is the real blue from the real blue snail. Okay, now on the bottom of the blue rope is bells and pomegranates. They're all described in the Bible. On top of the blue rope, there's the ephod, which is like a kind of vest that's connected to the breastplate. The breastplate is the square with the 12 precious stones. On each one of these stones is one of the names of the 12 tribes. If you look really closely, you can see them. They're all written in Hebrew. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, all the names of the 12 tribes on the stones. And the breastplate was used in order to communicate with God. Throughout the Bible, there's many stories that, let's say King David, when he asked, he says, let me ask in the ephod, or let me ask in the Urim and the Thummim. So all these things, they all refer to the asking with the breastplate. Inside the breastplate was the Urim and the Thummim, which is the holy name of God on a piece of parchment inside the breastplate. Many times the Bible refers to the whole thing as the Urim and the Thummim, or the ephod. Okay, so this was used. Okay, whenever the high priest had a very important question to ask the high priest or the king, so he would ask the question from God, and God would answer him through the letters of the 12 tribes. Let's say King David, let's say he asked, should we go into war or shouldn't we? Are we going to succeed or not? So let's say the answer was, yes, go and succeed. So the letters that spell the answer, Y-E-S-G-O, but of course in Hebrew, they would all shine from the letters of the breastplate, and then he would know what to do. It was a beautiful way of communicating with God. Of course, only when there was the Ark of the Covenant, only when there's an Ark of the Covenant, it has to be done opposite the Ark of the Covenant, so it means you need a temple and an ark, and then it could be done. Okay, we're going to move down in a few minutes. If you have any questions you'd like to ask, meanwhile. Okay, just look around before we go down. We can see all these instruments over here. They're all the Levites, musical instruments. Really beautiful. We're going to talk about them downstairs.
You got another minute if you wanted to.
The menorah. Did you see the menorah on the way to the Kotel, the Western Wall? Beautiful menorah. That's our menorah of the Temple Institute. Every morning they would clean it. We have a special vessel just for that. And this is for the oil for the menorah. Okay, now it was lit every night, morning, we clean it. Okay, our time is up. So, let's go downstairs.
Sorry, is that